Here's our dope on the quest for inner peace. Dr. Phil proclaimed that the way to achieve inner peace is to finish all the things you have started. So I looked around my house to see things I started and hadn't finished. And before leaving the house this morning, I finished off a bottle of Pinot Noir, a bottle of Chardonnay, a bottle of Bailey's, a bottle of Kahlua, a packet of cigarettes, the remainder of a bottle of Xanax, Valium prescriptions, the rest of the cheesecake, and a box of chocolates. You have no idea how good I feel. That's the modern quest for peace. We all long for peace. We're just often confused as to how to attain it. More than 2,500 years ago, the social prophet Isaiah proclaimed these words to the Hebrew people. The people who walked in darkness seen a great light.
Still pretty loud. It's okay.
Those who live in a land of deep darkness, on them as light shines. For a child has been born for us, a son given to us. Authority rests upon his shoulders, and he is named Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. His authority shall grow continually, and there shall be endless peace. And his kingdom, there shall be no end. Who is the prophet Isaiah speaking about? King David. He was speaking about King David. However, we as Christians look back on those scriptures and say, ah, he was talking about Jesus. That's who Prophet Isaiah was talking about. Because King David couldn't establish an endless peace, a kingdom that had no end. In our second scripture this morning, the angels serenade the shepherds in the fields who are watching and protecting their sheep. And the angels offer a message that there is another great shepherd coming into the world who will finally protect the sheep. And the angels offer a message of peace and goodwill toward all people. The Jewish people were living in a dark time. And so when King David didn't establish peace, they waited and waited and waited for another ruler who would come. They called him the Messiah, which means the Anointed One. Greeks called it the Christ, the Anointed One of God. And they hoped and prayed and they waited and they listened and they dreamed of a ruler, a just ruler, who would bring peace to the people. They were looking for someone outside themselves to establish peace, a holy rescuer. Just like the people of ancient Israel, I think we could identify that we too are living in a land of deep darkness. I think most of us, anyone who's reading anything anyway, are overwhelmed by our situation in the world. We live in a time when powerful world leaders and governments seem more concerned with maintaining their own power than having goodwill or welfare toward all people. But we no longer live in a time with a global community in which the coming of one just ruler can make all of our lives better. We live in issues with complexity, climate change, food security, economic disparity, addiction, violence, abuse, confusion. It is not going to be resolved with the coming of one godly person, a Messiah, or a Christ. And those of us who may identify as followers of the ways of Jesus and may believe that Jesus was the longed-for anointed one of God, we are aware that his coming did not bring everlasting peace to the world. And we are aware that it's up to each of us to do what we can to bring a little bit more peace into this world. But that is not an easy task, to be a maker of peace. Even Jesus couldn't. And in our third scripture this morning, Jesus himself makes the very strong point that he actually didn't come to bring peace, but a sword. And that was true. His coming brought controversy and family conflict, because the sword of truth always does. Mother is against daughter, and father against son, and mother-in-law against daughter-in-law. That's usually an easy one. Jesus understood that even in families, in our closest, most intimate relationships, they are full of misunderstandings, different opinions and perspectives, and that not everyone can always agree. Jesus says very clearly, one's foes will be members of one's own household. He knew what most of us know: family relationships are not easy. Jesus apparently struggled with his own family relationships. It said in scripture that Jesus' family thought was not in his right mind. Jesus knew that his teachings, his ways, were not easy. The path of truth speaking is not easy, because everyone has their own truths. What is my truth or my perspective may not be how you experience a situation. So it makes understanding difficult. The path of making peace and reconciliation is not always easy, because sometimes the other person doesn't want to reconcile with you because they don't like you. And no matter how hard you try to reconcile with them, they refuse to reconcile with you. The path of forgiveness is not easy, because someone may have hurt you so deeply you can't find it in your heart to forgive them. Or you may have done something so terribly wrong that hurt them that they can't possibly forgive you. And so both are held in the pain and the prison of unforgiveness. The path of loving our enemies is not easy, because we can be destroyed by those who hate us. It is difficult to love the one who abuses or hurts us. In fact, it can be dangerous. And so the safest place to be is away sometimes from the enemy who wants to hurt us. Sometimes it takes great courage to leave an enemy. The ways of Jesus are demanding. They are never fluff and stuff. And many see them as naive and foolish, unattainable and idealistic, and downright impossible to attain. But Jesus was a realist as well as an idealist. And he recognized that his coming, his ways, do not bring peace, but a sword. Because the sword of truth can cut like a knife in any family. And even the family of God can pit themselves one against another and fail to recognize our humanity in each other and withhold forgiveness. My great aunt say, "My dear, why would you think that the world would treat you any better than they treated Christ?" I think she had a very wise point. After 3 years of ministry, Jesus ended up crucified on a cross because the powers were threatened by the sword of truth that challenged their domination and abuse of power and exploitation of the He was right. He did not bring peace. He brought a sword. So if the Messiah of God, a non-violent ruler, nonviolent teacher and healer, couldn't bring peace to his own family or to the people of Israel or to his community of followers or bring peace to the world or bring peace to the church, then where does that leave us? How on earth can this gift of peace that the Christ child was to bring into this world come possibly into this world today? That brings us to our fourth scripture. From the risen Jesus, we hear these words as he is about to leave his followers and return to God. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not let them be afraid. The peace that Jesus brought was the only gift of peace that he could bring. The gift of inner peace. The peace that comes with being reconciled to ourselves. When we are at peace with ourselves, we may not have a better chance at being reconciled with others, but at least we are at peace in our own hearts. So how do we get this inner peace? Well, it just so happens that Jesus shows us the way. He shows us these five ways. And there are probably many more. These are just the ones I've thought of. First of all, Jesus had peace because he knew who he was, and he knew whose he was. He spent 40 days in the wilderness getting to know all of his demons, his need for power, his human physicality, and the limitations of his divinity. Out of that experience of 40 days on a silent retreat, Jesus became an authentic and self-differentiated . He emerged knowing his shadow and his light. Like him, we need to know and be ourselves. We need to accept our own humanity and forgive ourselves, our weaknesses and mistakes, and own our own light. When we refuse to recognize our own humanity and our limitations, when we refuse to accept the mistakes that we make, we cause a lot of chaos and confusion. We always need to be sorting out and taking responsibility for our part in any given situation. We can't make other people accept their part, but we can own and accept our own and say that we are sorted. Self-forgiveness gives us a peace surpasses all understanding. When you study all the healings of Jesus, often it is when he tells people that their sins are forgiven, that their bodies and their minds and their hearts are able to heal. Knowing that the divine forgives us our humanity helps us to forgive ourselves. Self-forgiveness is the first step toward inner peace. Jesus was at peace with himself. He knew who he was, a child of the living God. He knew to whom he belonged, not his parents, but his parent in heaven. That is who we are also, children of the living God. When Jesus made a mistake, he didn't dwell on it, but he corrected it. Apparently, he let it go and forgave himself for it. He wasn't into self-mortification. Remember the story of the Canaanite woman, a Gentile woman, when she came to Jesus for help and begged that her daughter would be healed. Jesus called her a dog. And he told her he'd only come to help the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And he refused to heal her daughter. And then she challenged him. And she spoke her truth, and she said, "Yes, Master, but even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from the Master's table." And Jesus' eyes were opened. And he He was moved by her faith in God, and she widened his perspective, and Jesus was humble enough to allow his mind to be changed, open to the depth of her faith in God. And he said, "Let it be done to your daughter as you wish." Jesus learned. He was humble. He forgave himself for his short-sightedness. He didn't beat himself up over it. And he moved on to the next town. Self-forgiveness, the first step to inner peace. Secondly, as we forgive ourselves for our own humanity, we are invited to forgive other people for being human also. Forgiveness of others leads to inner peace. Jesus points out to us that the people closest to us are the ones who have the greatest capacity to hurt us. And so we need to recognize their humanity and forgive them their mistakes and weaknesses, even if they never own them, even if they never offer an apology, even if they never get. Not to accept another person's humanity will only keep us prisoner, and our hearts will be troubled and not at peace. Being forgiving and gracious to others brings our own hearts peace. Jesus was at peace in his spirit because he was able to forgive his closest friends. He was able to forgive Judas's betrayal, Peter's cowardice. And from the cross, he was able to forgive his family, his friends, and even his enemies. Forgive them. They know not what they do. Forgiving others gives us inner peace. Thirdly, we are called to let go of any kind of belief that we can control or manage other people's behavior. Letting go of control leads to inner peace. Jesus was aware that he couldn't control the thoughts of the Pharisees, or of his followers, or of his friends. That's why he chooses not to waste any words on Pilate. He just remains silent. He knows they're not going to be heard. He's not going to get it. Why even start? So he lets Pilate's own questions fall back to Pilate. Parents of growing children, we learn very early that we cannot control other humans, even the ones in our care. And the older they get, the less control we have. All we can do is speak our perspective and truth and let it be. Whether people accept it or see it or act on it or not, none of us control another person. Even God does not have the audacity to think that God can control a human. When the Creator gave us free will, God gave up God's omnipotence. God is not all-powerful. Anyone who has a child understands that. To believe that we have control over the lives of others, let alone control over what another person thinks about anything, let alone us, is just foolish. As the Dalai Lama reminds us, we cannot control the behavior of anyone else. So why should we allow the behavior of someone else to disturb our inner peace? That doesn't mean that if we see a behavior that is unjust or cruel or unkind or destructive, we shouldn't speak up and seek to correct it or try to make others accountable. But ultimately, we cannot control other people and certainly we cannot control their thoughts. We can only control ourselves and our own thoughts. And so if we want to make peace in our hearts, we cannot allow other people's behavior or thoughts to disturb our inner peace. Others are going to do what they're going to do for the reasons they're going to do it. All we can ever do is reach out and love and care and speak our truth and care. But ultimately, all we can ever do is accept the decisions of another. Jesus spent 3 years teaching his students how to live. He taught them 3 years how to get along. And they still struggled to heal others, to get along, and to understand his ways. Every person learns at our own pace and our own journey. Cannot control the journey or lessons of someone else. When we can let go of our need to control others, we find inner peace. Fourthly, Jesus knew his purpose. He knew his light. He had come to preach and teach about the ways of heaven, about the kingdom of God, and how to get along and treat one another. He lived his purpose, and it gave him great peace. It is important that we also recognize, like Jesus, our own light, for each of us to get to know our own gifts and share them. This is our purpose, to share our gifts with others, whether those gifts are of organizing, or healing, or generosity in giving, or teaching, or serving, or wisdom, or knowledge, or hospitality, or craftsmanship, or multiculturalism, or compassion, or whatever. When we know our spiritual gifts and use them to contribute to the betterment of the church or the world, in our families, in our workplaces, we find peace and fulfillment in our hearts. When you look around at most of the age in our congregation, as people have said to me, Jennifer, we're all cramming for the finals. We've gone to school, we've experienced relationships, some have raised humans, lived out careers in the world. And now in retirement, many are looking for ways to experience our gifts and to leave our legacy to the world. What gifts do you enjoy sharing with the world? When we share our gifts, when we share our light, we find fulfillment and are at peace. Today, on White Gift Sunday, you've brought gifts of money or of toys or of food to share with SOS so that people can have a better Christmas. Just as I was about to come into the sanctuary today, I got a phone call from a single mom. She said, I work a full-time job. I'm just wondering if your church does damage deposits. I promise I'll pay it back. I just don't know where else to turn. I said, come in, we'll talk. The church needs to be relevant, a practical help to other people, to people in need. That's what gives us peace and fulfillment. The cold weather shelter that Kairos and Hart is now trying to organize, all the red tape is holding it back. And so we're hoping to start December 15th, but we're not sure. So St. Anne's have done a very creative thing. They're inviting anybody who wants to come for overnight prayer vigils at St. Anne's. And there will be food there, and clothing there, and warmth there, and volunteers there. And they're looking for all the churches to go and pray at St. Anne's. There's a sheet on the wall. You'd like to be one of those people between now and whenever the cold weather shelters open. We're hoping to open ours on Monday nights. So there's a sign-up sheet to help with that. And you'll need criminal record checks to be able to do that. Sharing our gifts with the world, living our purpose, gives us peace. And finally, we find peace in our hearts by trusting in the goodness of God, trusting that God is Emmanuel. God is with us. That was Jesus' message, Emmanuel. God is with us. God's not just with Jesus, God is with us, and placing our life and our death into the care of God. Jesus underwent great suffering, and even though he felt moments of doubt and wondering if God had abandoned him, still he surrendered his whole life and his death to God and said, into your hands I commit my spirit, trusting in the goodness and love of God to accompany him. We have inner peace when we trust and know that God is indeed with each one of us. We are not alone. That is the peace that passes all understanding. Yesterday when I was delivering cookies, because we care, because it's taken me a few days to get up to all the care homes, I met a woman who really isn't on our list, but she had said she used to go to Knox, so I thought, well, we'll give her some cookies. So I went and had a lovely visit with her, and I asked her if she ever thinks about death. She said, no. I'm 89, I don't worry about that at all. I know I'll be going to heaven. We all do. Me too, I said. We all do. That gives us peace. She is a very peaceful person. So what can we do on a daily basis to be at peace? Those five things. But several people have said to me when I asked this question in Bible study, what gives you inner peace? They said the welcoming prayer. Bill, Lori meets on Mondays in the morning at 10?
11.
In the chapel. And he gathers a group together who he has been working with for over a year on the centering prayer. And now he offers welcoming prayer. I've been hearing over and over again how this has been a life-changing prayer for so many. It comes from many people, but Father Thomas Keating's welcoming prayer is helping people find peace within themselves. The welcoming prayer is a method of consenting to God's presence and action in our physical and emotional reactions to events and situations in daily life. The purpose of the welcoming prayer is to deepen our relationship with God through consenting in the ordinary activities of our day. It helps us to dismantle the emotional programs of the false self system, heal the wounds of a lifetime by addressing them where they are stored, in our bodies. And so I'd like to close praying with you the welcoming prayer. So I'd invite you to close your eyes and be with me as I repeat the words of the welcoming prayer. Welcome, welcome, welcome. I welcome everything that comes to me today. Because I know it's for my healing. I welcome all thoughts, feelings, emotions, persons, situations, and conditions. I let go of my desire for power and control. I let go of my desire for affection, esteem, I let go of my desire for survival and security. I let go of my desire to change any situation, condition, person, or myself. I open to the love and presence of God and God's actions.